He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
I think, like, what matters here is that LeBron is more involved in the process, because he was involved with the Ty Lue thing, and then they lowballed him, and then they did the whole J Kidd thing, and you walked away from that coaching staff with Frank Vogel, who, like, I'm just going to tell you, LeBron was pretty apathetic towards Frank when he got there. And then the team really kind of took off, and he saw that opportunity to win a championship there. And then by the time Frank was gone, he didn't have kind of the belief of a lot of the people in that locker room. And I think that, like, if you involve LeBron more in those conversations to get your next head coach, it increases the likelihood that you find somebody that LeBron finds some buy-in with. And I just, like, I don't know. He wanted Handy when they hired him, you know, and I know Rondo is going to be kind of a popular name right now. For one thing, I don't know if you can hire Rondo given some of the stuff that's gone on with him off of the court. Like, I don't, like, that stopped them from hiring Jason Kidd back when they were getting ready to hire Vogel. So, like, you know, that matters to Jeannie. So, like, I don't know. Like, I'm really curious to see where this goes too. The other part of this, like, I talked about, you know, the notion of getting a more, like, building a more physical roster and getting more guys who are more willing to mix it up on both ends of the court. But I think a bigger kind of and a more important macro level question about team building here moving forward is, how comfortable are you going all in to try to extend this window with LeBron and AD that, you know, so it's going to be a 40-year-old LeBron next year. We just saw Anthony Davis not able to use his left arm in the second half of this game because Michael Porter Jr. bumped into him. Like, this isn't to call him soft or anything like that. I think people got carried away there. But it was weird, right? Like, we can all acknowledge it was weird that, like, he got bumped into and was lying face down on the floor as a result of it and couldn't use his left arm. He was a -4 in this game. And I think some of that had to do with the fact that, like, he couldn't use his left arm after getting bumped into by, like, it wasn't Jokic. It wasn't Aaron Gordon. It was Michael Porter Jr. So, like, how comfortable are you going all in to extend this window?
So I think they got to choose, right? And I think I saw enough, Anthony, from LeBron and from AD that I'm still going in with this window. I think AD showed, and the shoulder thing aside, I have no idea what that was. Maybe, you know, someone from, like, a medical staff can kind of explain what happened there. But for the majority of this series, AD, like a majority of the playoffs even, AD played like the second best player in the world. He just happened to go against the best, and that's a tough place to be. But that's where I think if you can just look at this series and look at all the series going on in the league, AD was incredible, and his ask is monumental. And that's one of the things I would like to do this summer is kind of I think there's kind of misconception that those two needs, like, scoring around them. I honestly think they need defense more than scoring. Like, I would lean more to a defensive help for both of them, honestly. I think LeBron can still kind of get to the basket and get his offense going when the team needs it. I think where he can't, like, pull inside that tank is every possession boxing out a guy like Aaron Gordon, every single time being the low man and help. AD, again, having to be the, you know, center for 95% of the season again, because the two centers behind them, number one is the offensive lenient one in Christian Wood, and the other one is Jackson Hayes, who just was not consistent enough, getting him a backup center. But no, I'm still pretty confident. I'm going to be as most people. I'm not going to predict the fall of LeBron James. Like, he showed again that he's still at this level. He showed again he's a top 10 player in the league. Wherever you rank that is where you rank that. But him and AD still being top 10 players in the league, I think that's something that you can really build a team around. And I think we spoke this whole podcast. They kind of have a team around them. Like I want pieces picked off, and I want to build upon the kind of core pieces instead of kind of flip this all again and kind of flip the whole style of this team. But I'm still pretty confident. Again, I think LeBron and AD showed that at the highest level of games, like they played their most games ever. And that's the part you have to take into this. AD played 75 games. I think LeBron also hit the 70 game mark. But if you can get them a couple more defensive pieces, if you have a coach that at least played the right guys to start the year, a little bit more focused on rebounding, on motor, some guys to kind of help that as they gauge the regular season, you probably end up with a few more wins and maybe you're not in this matchup. But no, I think I'm still confident in it, but I want the team to choose, Anthony. Like, if you're going to the summer and you re-sign LeBron at a 3-year $180 or whatever that extension is, then you're going all in.
3 years to win a championship.
You have 3 years. Like, you have 3 first round picks to play with this summer. Like,
yeah,
don't get cute. Like, you got to find the. And again, this is not me saying throw the whole team away. It just you have to also be smart in terms of the asset kind of allocation. But yeah, just hoping that, you know, if they go into this route, then go in on this route. You have LeBron AD at least trying to contend next year again and kind of make moves around that. I just don't want to kind of fiddle in the middle as they've done in previous seasons. So we'll see. But I'm still confident.
Shit, dude. Like, we're talking about all of this as if we like LeBron is definitely back. We don't know that, you know. He again tonight was talking about, you know, family and stuff outside of basketball, you know, and you know, he would be entering year 40, his year 40 season next year, year 22, right? In his career. Now apparently, like I tweeted this out because I'm kind of laughing at the timing of it all. But LeBron goes out there and talks about, like, you know, could be it. And then, like, the Lakers leak that they're interested in bringing in Bronny, right? As kind of another carrot there. Can I be honest? Mm-hmm. The Bronny thing feels kind of Cam Reddish-y in that, like, I think Bronny obviously has a much brighter future ahead of him in the sport than Cam Reddish does. But like, it feels like, hey, we'll give you a roster spot at the end of the roster. We'll go out and we'll draft a guy in the second round, and we'll see what we could do to bring this guy in here to like Bronny also a clutch client, hilariously too, right? Like, it just, I don't know. I've been charting basically LeBron's fingerprints on a roster dating back to the Russ trade to now. And mm-hmm. You see fewer and fewer and fewer of those fingerprints. Right. And now they're basically leaking that they're interested or willing to bring in Bronny, right, as another carrot to show that they're working with Bronny or with LeBron. But like the places that they need to work with LeBron is the head coach, right? Like whoever they bring in, like, I'm sorry. I don't care what kind of an X's and O's genius that they bring in. It doesn't matter if LeBron doesn't buy in, because we've seen this year that there are stretches where LeBron's going to be like, well, yeah, you could run that. We could run that. Right, Darvin? Like, we could run this, but, you know, or we could run this other thing, you know? And I like, that's going to be really interesting to see here. But, you know, we'll see what that looks like. The last question that I have for you here, Raj, before we kind of batten down the hatches for the offseason to come, is I think a decision has to be made with Anthony Davis. Is he a center, or is he, or do you want to bring in a center that, like, is he a full-time center, or do you want him at, like, do you want to lower that percentage down so that you can be a little bit more physical throughout your roster?
I always say this, and I just feel like, and this has gotten kind of construed because of all the player podcasts out there. Like, people are giving less and less thought about what players think, right? Because so many player pods say so many like preposterous things. But if you talk to Anthony Davis, I think it's important to have the perspective of the guy that's actually doing this stuff. And AD is very clear when he talks. He's like, I want to play forward at least a little bit. Help me help you, right? Help me get through the regular season. And for the last few years, the Lakers are like, nope. here's Carmelo Anthony. Here's DeAndre Jordan. Here's, you know, Jackson Hayes. Here's Christian. And Christian Wood, I think, is more of an AD kind of signing as well. Like, I think that's the one that AD was very happy to have on board. But I would at least like a forward that can play next to LeBron and AD. And maybe that guy's Rui in a more, like, full season mode. But I would like another big kind of center that can play next to AD that can preferably hit a jump shot. But if not, that at least rebounds and it protects the rim. Right, like that dude, that's the two things he needs to do. I don't want another center that just shoots threes and is like a Nurkic, you know, or something like you need a big man that does the dirty work things. It's too much of an ask, and I think we've seen this with the Suns, we've seen this with the Lakers, and we've seen this to an extent with the Clippers. Your stars can also be your dirty work guys. Like, that's a very tough position to put guys who need to average 30 and also be the guy that is crashing the glass every time. That's an impossible ask. It just is, especially like over older age stars like Kevin Durant, LeBron. That's a tough ask for them. KD can't tag Anthony Edwards and also drop 30 on the other end. He just can't. He can't do it at this age. And LeBron can't drop 30 and also box out Aaron Gordon every time, crashing from the corners. It's an impossible ask, or boxing out Jokic. So I would like another center. I don't know what that looks like. Like, I would love a Plumlee. The Clippers have three centers. Like, just one of those guys would be great. Zoo, Plumlee, or even Daniel Tice. Just a big body that would help down low. I think Jackson Hayes has it in spurts. But yeah, like another physical center I would really like for them to get to just soften the blow on AD throughout the regular season. You're playing the war of attrition. Is AD going to play center when the games matter? Of course. Is he going to be at center when, like, you know, in every clutch situation? Of course. But let's just have a little bit of diversity. Not, he doesn't have to be Dwight Howard or even current Dwight Howard, but, like, you know, some big body that you can throw out there. And I'm hopeful they go in that direction, because AD's been preaching that for the last few years. It just feels like that voice gets smaller and smaller as the seasons have gone on. And we just stopped listening to him. So hopefully they get another center that can at least defend the rim and protect, you know, and protect the basket.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed that they didn't do something to get a more physical center who could spell AD, if not in this series, right? Because your backup center, hoping your backup center helps against Jokic, is pretty suboptimal. Right. But
sure.
You know, I don't know. the further that we get away from it, the more bummed I am that Marc Gasol didn't work out. Right. And he didn't work out right, 'cause he got COVID and he was just never the same after he got sick. But like early in that season, he fit perfectly with LeBron, and it like worked really, really well with him and AD too. Like, that team to start the season was so effing fun, you know, and then they just kind of wore down or whatever.
21-6 to start that year, Anthony.
What was that?
I think it was like 21-6 to start that year. Yeah. I believe they were incredible. Yeah.
They were so effing fun, and there isn't like people are gonna look for it. I see people saying like Vucevic, he is not Marc Gasol. Like, he's also white, but he's not Marc Gasol. there just isn't a Marc Gasol really, like, that is attainable in the NBA right now. Like, you can maybe say like Lauri Markkanen, but the Jazz are gonna ask for everything under the sun for him, and I don't know if I would use everything under the sun to go out and get somebody who is going to like, who isn't going to be a big part of your best five lineups. Right. So I don't know what direction that they go in there. I do think that they need to bring in somebody with a little bit more muscle who, even if he isn't playing alongside Anthony Davis, just isn't such a disaster when AD isn't out there. Right. And the Lakers have basically, you know, since they struck gold with Dwight, and that was a pretty unique situation. The league had given up on Dwight, but they struck gold on Dwight, and JaVale, I don't think, was on a minimum when they had him either. Since then, they have basically only used minimum contracts on bigs. And I think that they probably have to, switch up that approach to that spot there, because the Lakers for far too long now have been such an unmitigated disaster anytime Anthony Davis either sits on the bench, or God forbid he misses a game. Yeah, you know, yeah. It's just ugly.
It sucks that I won't get this opportunity, but and I know like the body's getting cold now for the season, but I would love to know the butterfly effect of if Vando just does not get hurt game one of preseason game one, right? Like in first half. By the way, Vando hits 2 threes in that preseason game. It looked like Raj. Oh wait, did Vando?
I'll ride with you. Just about anywhere, but like if you start talking about Vando hitting threes,
I know. I'm just giving the context of like what happened in that preseason game because I think most people didn't go back and watch that. But like so Vando gets hurt in like the first half.
Vando forgot he made those threes. Like if you were to talk to him right now, did you know you made 2 threes? And he's like, wait, really? I can do that? No way. Wow.
Right. Yeah. He probably doesn't even remember. But I think that's such a like key point in this because that really led to this confusing, twisted maze that we went through, right? Like Vando goes out, you start Taurean, and Darvin Ham gets very much connected to that. And we start that for such a long time. Rui goes in and out of the lineup. He gets a concussion. He misses time. Then the Cam Reddish experiment starts. And that kind of goes along with the Taurean thing. And all those guys eventually start so much that on Christmas, we bench both D'Lo and Austin. And we just go down this huge rabbit hole. And we just spent this whole podcast, Anthony, me, you, and Aaron, talking about we need more high motor. Aaron called them tryhards, right? And we're like, we need physical players. You called the team soft a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Like what Vando does is like he's – like I remember the win against Dallas last season, right? Just that off the guy who crashes the glass. Like Vando's an incredible offensive rebounder, right? He's a really good defensive rebounder. He's a guy that always crashes. He's a guy that always has motor, who's always playing hard, who's always aware on the defensive end. I'm not saying he changed this Denver series at all. That's not my point here. It's just I think just having one more wing forward would have been very helpful. But I won't get that chance, and we'll see what happens during the summer. I hope Vando is able to kind of have a bounce back season if he's not traded because I do think he's still a very key and unique. He's just a unique NBA player. You know how many players make his type of money that can't shoot, can't dribble, and finish at the rim? Like there's just like the amount of players who can't do all three of those things contract and still make
be a mistake.
Okay, but like just the value. That... I've been using that as a positive, and I never like flip that. Like, well, maybe.
All right, we have to get out of here, but we do have 15 starred comments. So, Raj, I'm just going to play this one time and maybe a couple times.
Fuck Boston! Fuck Boston!
All right, I'm just going to dive in here. Lane R. writing, should have thrown the game. We'd have faced them in the Western Conference Finals. Look, man, like, questions need to be asked and answered here, Raj. Like, now that the season is over. Would you have preferred to wait and maybe get Jared Vanderbilt ready for that?
That's
final
not
scene?
Fair. Don't do that to me. That's not
fair. He was ready to. He was clear to play in this series, and you could have possibly had him later in the postseason.
No, I'm still not with that because I think just the push of that, you could have been home 2 weeks ago or whatever it was. So, no, I'm not with tanking that game. We'll make up for it next year.
I am. All right. Justin Tindall writes, laughed my ass off in the second quarter when Ham took out Spencer Dinwiddie and put in Vincent. Then last their ass off again that he started Dinwiddie in the fourth while Braun rested and not Austin. Get rid of this clown. I think the Lakers are going to be taking your advice and getting rid of said NBA head coach. Do you think Darvin ever gets another chance? I don't think he does.
I think he'll be picked up pretty quickly for an assistant. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, and the way that
but
head
it took
coach
him how many interviews to even get this opportunity? And
that's true. Yeah. But I mean, player, you can like re up your value as an assistant, right? You go and win again a championship somewhere. It kind of again puts your name in the spotlight. I can see him get him another chance down the line. Probably not soon.
Do you think he gets some training on hand? How to handle post-game press conferences. All right, stop talking about hell of a game and hell of a other team and energy and grit and all that other shit. Like, you actually do have to mention that, like, yeah, you like, here's the thing. After this game, right, he's already talking about injuries and how they were the key to the season and how it played out or whatever. You chose, Darvin, you chose to play Austin Reaves 33 and 34 minutes to end your season. That was a choice you made. That was not forced by injury. You had all of your guards available, and you played him that much. And the fact that he is rolling out of here without taking accountability again says everything I need to know about him and his what he's able to, or what he's capable of doing as an NBA head coach. Jason Kelly writes, Spencer Dinwiddie getting any minutes is unreal. I feel like LBJ staying ends the championship aspirations for his career. There just isn't a trade that takes the Lakers that far. I don't think they need to go that far, right? It says it right there on the right side of your screen. Like, you know, this is they are the team that the Lakers just lost to in one of the closest, you know, gentlemen sweeps of all time. I said it. That is the reigning champion, and that is, for my money, the favorite to win the championship this year. Now, maybe, like, we'll see how banged up they are and the impact that has against Minnesota. But I, like, that is a team that, you know, last year swept you out of the playoffs, and you finally get a win against them this year. I don't think Denver is going to be any better next year. Like, I don't, like, there's not much that they can actually do to improve that roster unless you're hoping that Christian Brown and Peyton Watson take really meaningful steps forward and are actually playable, because I didn't think they were very playable in the series. Like, I don't know. I don't think the Lakers are that far off. And, like, does this end, like, unless LeBron, like, forces a trade to go play with Jokic, I think he has about as good a chance being a Laker at winning a championship than anywhere he would go. Where else would he go?
That's how I was going to say. Like, I just don't think there's a team that you can really walk to that would, I mean, maybe there's here and there you team up with a star, but yeah, I think the Lakers are as close as you can get. And they're really only, their hurdle next year, Anthony, is LeBron's whatever fall he does, right? Whatever drop off there is going from the age 39 season to age 40. And just on the Dinwiddie point, I have no problem with Spencer Dinwiddie playing. It's him playing over Austin Reaves. Like, that really just didn't make sense to me, at least in, you know, the second half. There were points where I thought we just overplayed that. And, like, I get the point with Dinwiddie, bigger guard, throw on Jamal Murray. But, yeah, Dinwiddie, I think, was a fine put into the rotation. It just, I didn't understand, I guess, him or Gabe kind of playing that much when you had Austin in such low minute territory. So we'll see.
Justin Tindall, again, writing, led by nine halfway through the third, Jokic flops after a miss. Bron boxed him out legally, but flopped to get the foul. Instead of our ball up nine, Jokic made a three on that play. I know what play he's talking about. Look, man, like, refereeing is going to be this is why it matters that you play a game at home rather than on the road. And that's why it matters what seed you enter into the playoffs with, right? That's why it was so frustrating all year. I started the year doing standings watch. I was focused on that shit right from the beginning, because you knew that the West is going to be brutal. And by the way, it's going to be even tougher next year. Wemby's going to be a year older. Memphis isn't going to be the disaster that they were this year. Portland is probably going to still suck, but that's probably the only team in the conference that you would look at and say they are for sure tanking. Because now, like, we'll see what happens with Utah, maybe. But outside of that, it's all the teams that are currently good, right? And then a couple teams that might even get better. That's why, like, that's Phoenix in a normal year, they aren't the disaster that they were this season. But the West was such a gauntlet that, like, you know, and it's going to be like that next year. Mm-hmm. You agree? All right. Lane writes, you, Raj Harrison, made the game 100 times better. Thank you. I am going to be coming back to comments like that here at the end of the show, because I have so many thanks and so many flowers to give out to a lot of people, including you guys, the listener, with 5,000 people still tuned in at 11:20 Pacific time, 1:20 my time. I'm tired. Justin Tindall writes, Christian Brown played 60. This comment, I saw it pop up while we were talking, and it like it was like a stab to the heart. But Christian Brown played 64 minutes. He's there, Max, LOL. In an elimination game, you favored Gabe and Spencer over Vando. The Max aspect of this hurts. Like the Max, the Max part of this, just never playing Max when he is, I think, their best two-way guard. Just like other than Austin, I would say, like in terms of impact on both sides of the ball, just not playing him. Man, I can't wait to watch the Lakers coached by somebody who isn't Darvin Ham next year.
What's crazy is you just said that statement. You think he's their second best guard behind Austin. Someone online could say he's their worst guard. We don't know. I don't know. Like, I did not get an answer. I have no idea to that question. I love Max in Summer League. He's one of my favorite parts of going to Vegas last year and getting to watch him play and kind of improve as a ball handler. We were told that, you know, he was going to be a big part of this team. Anthony, I believe, I have to check the numbers. I haven't checked Max's numbers in a while because it hasn't really mattered. But, like, he shot, like, 41% on catch-and-shoot threes the last time I checked. Especially from the corners, which is what we're begging for, right? How many missed wide open threes did we miss tonight? And plus, like, and another thing with this team, you called it soft. That's a word I don't use in my vocabulary, but they're just unathletic, right? Instead of soft, I say like unathletic. Max is definitely our most athletic guard by none. He's more athletic than Austin.
He was more dunking on dudes.
Yeah, he's more athletic than D'Lo, which is a low bar to clear over, but like he's a super athletic guard that also Max is a great rebounder. That's the sad part of this. He's an incredible rebounder. He rebounds with two hands. Our guards are lucky to go up with one. No offense to our guards, but like, again, like that's the reason why like the Max stuff is so sad, because I have no idea how good he is. We have to make a decision on paying him this summer. I thought he was great when he played. He had a game where he locked up freaking Donovan Mitchell this year and got us a win for that on the road. And then I was again taken out of the rotation because Cam Reddish's legs healed that day. Like, it's just, I have more grace for Darvin than most. It's just the Max Christie stuff is just, I don't know if he's good. You called him the second best guard on the team. I could say he's worse than Jalen Hitchifino. Who knows? I have no clue. There's a gap there in the playing time that he's not worse than Jalen. I was just using that as, you know, a frame of reference. Don't take that literal. But
sorry. You were cooking. You had it going, and then you had to go there. All right. Lankybody saying, wow, what a frustrating season. Thanks for your coverage this season, guys. The show is the best on market. Cheers. Looking forward to some big changes here, like on this show and with the Lakers. I am telling you guys, we have a really, really cool offseason for us in the lounge here ahead of us too. It's like some really awesome announcements that I can't wait to unveil to everybody. God King Tony Clifton writes, I hate everything and by everything I mean Darvin Ham and his inability to call timeouts like a normal human being, screams into the void. I'm blind with rage. I can't even think straight. The timeout thing is kind of tough tonight because he lost one by like via the refs. You know, just not making the right call and forcing him to use a timeout that he wouldn't have otherwise used. But like, I mean, it's the same trend all year. So I think that's a big, my problem with Darvin is like in tonight's game, like my biggest problem with Darvin was you had at various points, like right from the get-go, you had Jamal Murray shooting with a heating wrap during pregame warmups, right? You needed to, this is going to sound dirty, this is going to sound problematic or whatever, but ask any pro player, anybody who has ever played basketball ever, right? Anybody who has played any competitive sport ever. If you know going into the game that a player has something wrong with their body, the first thing that you're going to do is see how it goes for them when you hit that part of their body. So you need somebody to stick out a knee and have him go around a screen and ding up that calf right from the beginning of the game. You need, like when KCP turned his ankle, the first thing that Lakers should have done is test him to see how that ankle was going to hold up. And like, you have, like, I'm like one of my favorite anecdotes was from, man, I forget who it's from, but you hear examples of this all the time. I think it was from James Worthy actually, where in like the 80s, players would be reluctant to wear bandages on parts of their body because that acted as like a bullseye, right? And so like you would have guys who needed to have their like wrist taped up or their ankle taped up, but wouldn't get it taped up because they knew when they walked onto the court, the very first thing that somebody standing across from them was going to do was hit them on that bandage just to see how that was going to go. And it really bothered me tonight that the Lakers made no attempt at any point to adjust to the maladies that the Denver Nuggets were dealing with in this game. Yeah. That's the part of it. Like, that's the lack of awareness that Darvin just like completely showcased throughout his Lakers tenure.